available balance is $0 and 17 cents.
You got three choices. Run, hide, or die. Run! You gotta paint them by the clothes. You gotta wrap them up on your own hose. You gotta paint them by the clothes. You gotta paint them by the clothes. You gotta run until the cheese. You gotta fight until it fucking bleeds. You gotta paint them by the clothes. You gotta paint them by the clothes.
I don't wanna.
I don't care.
I don't wanna.
And I don't care. You gotta paint them walls when the bullets fly. You gotta paint them walls when the bullets fly. You gotta paint them walls when the bullets fly. You gotta paint them walls when the bullets fly. Paint them walls when the bullets fly. Paint them walls when the bullets fly. You gotta paint them walls. You gotta paint them walls.
Mum Rat Radio, that's Ben Crutcher, that's MJ, Michael Jordan's the great right hypes, checking account balance, and I'm Brad Dunlap, and once again, this
wait,
is...
Wait, we're making it rain!
The right gripe.
Wipe, I think? I don't know, I was not able to pronounce my words correctly, which, as a Midwesterner, is what I'm known for.
Hoodrich with a kid leg.
This is Mum Rat Radio. Michael Jordan, can you say something to our audience who once again is wearing his Michael Jordan number 23 jersey because his name is Michael Jordan? You a fan of Michael Jordan, Michael Jordan?
I respect someone who masters anything. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Well, let me ask you
classy,
this.
Classy.
Would it be such a shock if he were just a normal 6 foot, 7 foot tall man? And I said 6 foot, 7 foot, but I meant 6 foot, 7 inch, but it still makes the same. A big guy wearing a Michael Jordan jersey, if his name wasn't Michael Jordan.
Right. It would have less of an effect, but I guess people see that jersey and they're like, Jordan, and you're like, hey, look at my ID. Look at my driver's license. It says Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I rarely do
look
that.
Look at my passport.
You rarely do that, but you've done it.
In the past, you know. Okay.
All the time. It's his move.
Well, this is the inaugural episode of Mum Rat Radio. We had a test run last night that went pretty well. We'll probably get this up on downinthewell.com.
Might make this a test run, too.
Mum Rat Radio is the incarnation of me, Ben, and MJ doing radio for you via the internet, which will probably be up two days from now.
Brad and Ben are more the brains behind it. I'm more of
the Ed McMahon is what I hope for. Or if anyone gets the reference, the Hank Kingsley from the Larry Sanders Show. Hey now. MJ, you've lived here a while.
A couple years, yeah. 4 years.
Ben's lived here 3 years. I'm a recent transplant, and that's why we're able to do this.
Where is here? Where are we? We are broadcasting live from Long Beach, California.
825 East Ocean Boulevard.
We probably shouldn't give people our address.
Come and find us. And I hate Negroes.
Good one. That's a good way to start it.
I know.
Oh, momentum is just... rolling on down the hill. Just keep that boulder rolling.
It's different here because we're all Midwesterners. And I guess they've acclimated themselves, but people point out my accent, which hadn't happened since I moved to Southern Illinois, where my black friends would say I had a Midwestern accent.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. Do you have a Midwestern accent, MJ?
I don't think so. You don't talk like people on TV.
I don't know. I didn't ever want to point it out.
Oh, look at you.
Yes, he does have a Midwestern accent, as do I, just like you. We were all born and raised in the Midwest.
And it comes out.
I think we have no way to control that. I think it's just
I think people only point it out rock when and they roll. Know that I'm from Illinois.
I think that they notice it before they know you're from Illinois. I just don't think they can place it. I think the problem is that they are confused by exactly what accent you are speaking with. Oftentimes people will ask if you are from Boston.
Or if I'm French. Really, that gets confused with a lot of things.
How does that work?
That is a hilarious joke, okay?
The name of Mum Rat Radio comes from the fact that we needed a name for this radio show, and Ben found a mum rat in the basement. Pictures of it are up on downinthewell.com. What was the tagline?
You can check out pictures of the mummy rat on downinthewell.com.
And really, it's a shame if it's not up with this episode.
But I'm trying to drink a beer. Why are we?
It is.
About
it it will be up with this episode. It's up before this episode.
Yeah. What is the mum rat?
Oh, well, it's a mummy rat. It's a giant rat that is now mummified from being dead for so long in our dry basement, which apparently is dry because there's been a box fan down there plugged into our neighbor's electricity outlet for the past, I don't know, year and a half.
We should run a cord from their electricity to ours.
And it's been caught in a giant rat trap at some point in time.
Yeah, there. What I love about it is I've seen the pictures and the ribs exposed.
Yeah.
You can see how the guts are long gone, but it still has its death face, which I've got to say that rat caught in the rat trap, he was caught off guard. Not expected.
He lost teeth in the process, so I don't know how that happened, but he was definitely killed probably pretty instantly.
Right.
He looks awful smashed in between that large, heavy body.
I think there was probably 6 to 10 to maybe even 30 seconds of not fun for that rat.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much struggle there would have been. I remember that we had found a few of those large rat traps in the basement. Not the basement. The crawl space, I guess, underneath the house that me and MJ used to live in. And we found a couple of those giant rat traps. We brought them up, and we were smashing the necks off of beer bottles with it. So if you could stick a beer bottle in there and smash the neck off.
Now, refresh my memory because I don't have the picture in front of me. At what point did it hit the rat?
On the neck.
On the neck? Okay, that's probably
right below the head. So if it were smashing on your neck, it would probably hit you right below the jawline.
Nice.
Probably severing your brain stem.
Right, and that's enough
to do it. So if it was alive, it probably didn't feel shit.
That's true.
Or it was struggling in pain for days.
I doubt that, but I'm just saying. What I remember most specifically about it was the face it had, and it looked like it was a death throes face.
Its mouth was open? Yeah. You can all check this out
if
online.
If it's truly instantaneous, it should be a happy rat who thinks he's about to get some cheese.
Be smiling. There was no cheese on that rat trap, or peanut butter, or anything. That cheese is
then
long
Then should have
gone.
The look of a dumb rat.
Oh, I don't know if there was no cheese, but there definitely is no cheese now.
I like cheese.
No cheese.
The other rat got it.
I like to consider myself
the next rat got that cheese.
Well, the problem with having a mum rat stuck in your rat trap is that it can't catch any more rats. And I don't want to touch it to take it out, so there's still a mum rat in the basement of our apartment right now.
Well, okay, let's guesstimate, and I'll say that rat is between 2 and 11 years old. I have no idea when it was killed, but because of its mum ratness, it will live in infamy. It will live on in our memories because
it's pretty disgusting.
Body was decomposed, but still has some sort of composition.
I don't think it will decompose any more than it will right now.
It's at that level.
Unless we bury it, we could probably shellac it and use it as a hood ornament.
We need to take it to Antarctica.
I want to
throw it into the ice, and then future people will find it and talk about it.
Future people can have a mum rat radio station. Hey, how much do you think it costs to have that thing dipped in bronze and used as like a trophy?
$2,000.
$2,000
for bronzing?
I don't know. I mean, that just sounds outrageous.
Yeah.
Is outrageous.
$1,000, $1,500.
If anyone out there in TV land knows how much it costs to dip a rat and a rat trap, I'm saying total inchage, this thing's probably 12 to 14
yeah,
inches.
Yeah, definitely a $2,000.
But it's only 3 inches wide, so.
Yeah, but still.
Okay, well, people dip their baby booties in copper, or not crap, copper, bronze all the time. Okay,
right,
what,
and you never
what about
have,
a cheaper metal like
you
aluminum?
Never have a lot of money after you have your first kit. So if it costs a couple thousand just to get their booties bronze, like this, that's not everyday man money.
They probably get them bronze years after they have that kit.
A bronze sculpture takes
really?
A lot of
work. I doubt that.
I don't know. My parents never did it. I don't even know if I had
bronze.
Booties.
So, like, people get a bronze of their ass?
Do they?
Yeah, is that what you're saying?
No, I want to get a bronze of a mum rat.
Right.
But that'll be a couple
instead thousand of taxidermy, dollars. We'd like to put it into that's some sort of metal statue.
If anyone out there knows anything about dipping stuff in bronze and then keeping them as trophies, go ahead and hit us up at downinthewell@gmail.com. We'll probably start a satellite site for this radio station specifically. But
Mum Rat, but right now just hit us up at downinthewell@gmail.com.
Since it doesn't really work. Google that shit.
And feel free to send us your emails about any of the topics we discussed tonight, because I assume that if anyone emails us, we'll probably use it in the show. There'd be no reason not to.
They should email sexy love letters. From I don't care if it's from dudes or women. I don't care. Sexy love letters, downinthewell@gmail.com.
Please, and be sure to include pictures.
Yeah. Commercial. You can download them from
Vic
the internet.
Vic and Koya, send pictures of your sexy love letters.
All right, let's see a commercial here.
We're going to stop for a commercial break.
Hiya, where's the volcano? By Sherry and Carson on 405. We have a business seafood display, and it makes us so happy, so happy. Come on down to Hokkaido. Mushi, mushi.
That is a delicious seafood buffet, by the way.
Thank
Japanese.
You for the commercial break,
about,
MJ.
It costs about $17 to go there as a dinner. What do you want me to do? Oh, yeah. So anyways, it costs about $17 to go there for a dinner, but it's well worth it. They have all sorts of good tasting.
They have shark fin soup.
They have shark fin soup. Now, I don't know if it's real shark fin soup, as if they use real shark fins in it, but it tastes pretty good. I don't know if I want to really be contributing to something that... But I know now that they have to pair the fins on all the sharks that they catch.
I mean, aren't sharks just big fish?
They are, but if they're only cutting the fins off,
I'll hark back to what my aunt V told me.
They only reproduce like every 20, 30 years. They're very slow, and it's just wrong. It's so wrong.
It's like eating a child's arm.
I used to go camping with my great aunt V, and she wasn't a big camping or outdoorsy type. She would loathe it most of the time, and when we bring fish back, the only thing she'd want to eat off the fish is the fried fish tail. Mm-hmm. Because it's just like a delicious potato chip. Oh,
someone's getting a phone call.
We got a call here.
Oh.
We got a call.
Well, who is it? Oh, who is it? Let me hold the phone up to the microphone. Yeah, we'd like something bronzed.
Yeah.
What do you want bronzed?
Well, it's a rat.
It's a dead
rat.
Trap. Are you cheaper than taxidermy?
We're located over up by Hollywood. We end up different types of bronzing.
Has the recession hit the bronzing industry hard?
Wait a minute. Women are getting dipped in bronze for their husbands?
No, they're having their men dipped in bronze, though. Most women live a lot longer than most men in Hollywood area. And they want to remember their husbands. That's more of our specialty. I don't know why we got this referral here. We were in the wrong.
No. We're very interested in having something bronze.
Specifically a rat.
Is it like Han Solo stuck in carbonite?
We can do... Yeah.
That sounds like a great deal. I think we'll probably take that, and we'll take all your information off the air. Thanks for calling.
Click.
Anyway. Well, I'm glad that people are getting this Mumrat Radio before it even comes out
right.
on the internet. This is
it's amazing.
Technology.
I'm amazed.
The Twitter these days is.
What do you think about that caller? It didn't seem like you had a lot to say, Michael Jordan.
I had an easy restroom.
That's
true. He was taking a dump.
I had a small bladder.
A big dump.
It's Mumrat Radio. That's Michael Jordan. I'm Brad Dunlap. To my right is Ben Crutcher, but spatially that doesn't mean anything to you because it's radio.
Let's just fill up the entire show with telling people who we are and what we do.
I'd prefer not to.
I'm going to take a 3-minute cigarette break. So,
and then we'll say downinthewell.com a bunch of times.
Well, I'd hope to do that.
I'm Noodle Spaghetti Pants.
People will remember.
Yeah.
The reason advertising is that overt is because people forget.
I think they won't forget that they are on the site that we are promoting.
I think we should go to Hokkaido and do an on-air. Maybe we get a free dinner for...
That
what's Empire Carpeting's phone number?
Because I don't want to bid the $20, but maybe they'll let us do it.
I don't know if it...
Like...
I don't know if they have Empire around here.
I know they don't have it around
I think they
here.
Have,
I'm just
I think
asking
they have
you.
Carpet for less. And they have...
Ben Crutcher, what is the phone number?
Their number is 1-800-C-A-R-P-E-T for less. That's what Carpet for Less is...
out here.
That slogan is, yeah.
Okay, you don't remember what Empire's is?
No, I don't think I've ever even heard it. All I know is Carpet for Less, and they have rugs for sale, and that's 155-R-U-G-S-4-S-A-L-E. Then you can't fit all.
But still,
you can't fit all the.
The name of things that people will remember.
You can't fit all the letters in there, but they tell you them anyways.
Okay, this none of this diverts from the fact that I want to smoke a cigarette and I was trying to take a 2-minute break. But I guess we can do it better because what we've done with Mumrat Radio is we've decided to go on locale and record real people's organic, authentic stories on specific topics.
Incredible and amazing.
Really, just some of the best stuff we've ever done because we've
women,
done it twice.
Right?
And there's no other litmus test for it. We're going to first do our bum story, which is going to include some clips from our test show last night. Bums in California are different. If you live anywhere else, I can say bums are different. Maybe Michael Jordan and Ben Crutcher have.
We didn't have any bums where we're from.
I don't have any bums from where I'm from.
Nope. I've seen bums in Chicago, but usually you say no and they'll go away.
But to be fair, you never lived there, so you don't really...
But I worked there,
really
so I saw them enough.
These are for AIDS. These are super AIDS. They're mutant bums. These guys have superhero powers.
I only worked there.
Right, but when you work somewhere, you go there and you pass people on the street, but you don't...
You pass the exact same.
I agree.
I was also working where I was working all over the city and met the whole.
What I'm saying is living somewhere.
To be fair to the viewers,
only when you let the bums live in your garage.
Let's not relate to the superhuman theory here.
That's not true.
Can we have the superhuman theory for the viewers? You know, that whatever they touch, yeah.
If there is no argument between whether or not it's different to work somewhere and live somewhere. There's no argument. You can't say. You can't say.
Bum-wise,
yeah,
you can say it's.
I think you
similar.
Get a. I think you get a different experience with anything, bums or otherwise.
Only when you invite them, I guess.
I don't think so.
What if I would have invited one of these bums to work with me? Which actually, the type of work I was doing, I could have probably.
They do it all the time, right? Isn't that what you guys do? So
no, then I wasn't.
Like
doing
I can't invite a bum into my job. Because it's an office owned by somebody else.
But
that
you can invite him into your garage.
You can.
Right. That's a different...
That's... I don't understand... But that's not... That doesn't even make sense. What I'm saying is it's different. Like, if
right.
you live
You're
in
just
Chicago...
saying is that I can't make an opinion of bums because I was only there 45 hours a week for 6 months.
Yes. You can't make an accurate... You
can't, opinion
you can't,
of bums
You can't
working.
Specify the difference between a Chicago bum... And a Long Beach bum because you never lived in Chicago, so you if
that's bullshit.
That's not bullshit.
Yeah, it's definitely.
That's
bullshit.
Not.
No, it's bullshit.
Tell me why.
Because I spent all my time. I was canvass for petitions. So I would go out for the state's attorney and try to get petitions to get her on the ballot. That meant that I was on the street all over fucking Chicago, all the way from Pilsen to Millennium Park to Michigan Avenue up into the northern side of Cook County into the suburbs.
Was this for the
Green
Party?
I went across the whole strata. All of it had bums. So sure. I had my litmus test, so yes, I have formed an opinion of Chicago.
Let me ask, but it's a different opinion because you never lived with them. They never lived amongst you.
Good balance.
So are you saying that the rowdy neighbors upstairs at your friend's house that you're over at all the time, they bother you as much as if you lived there and the rowdy neighbors upstairs lived above you? You're saying
Chicago
that
Chicago bums?
No, I'm not saying Chicago bums. I'm saying neighbors. Like, you have a neighbor that lives upstairs that annoys the fuck out of you. But I come over every day, and I party and I hang out. And the neighbor doesn't annoy the fuck out of me because I don't live there. So I'm not annoyed by it. I may be annoyed by it because you're annoyed by it because you live there. So you're saying that that neighbor would always piss you off the same way as it would me as a guest in your apartment?
I just don't understand why you think that I can't make an opinion.
You can make an opinion. I just think I don't think it's the same. I don't think that you can say they're totally different, because I think that maybe if you lived in Chicago, you'd say they're probably very similar.
The same. I don't know. I just think I've seen a different type, and I've been here less time than I was there, but also when I came here, bums were living in the garage. We recorded this at the Red Room, what we're about to play, and we say thank you to all three of the people who are included on this and have their interviews, and we'd like to have said that Mike had his bum story in there, which led us to our second segment tonight, which will be couch stories and couch surfing. But unfortunately, that got cut out of bad audio. So here it is, live on tape.
Yes.
Bum stories from Mum Rat Radio.
Exactly. Go.
Quintessentially bum would be the dude leaning up against the wall with his pants down and shitting against the wall. He was leaning against the wall and he had his pants down. It's kind of like this. And he's actually taking a shit. Another story by my work. I work in West LA, Santa Monica and 405 and 10 Freeway. So the guy's like, fuck it, let's start a pit fire. And one of the fires they lit up happened to be this old dog, old Pomeranian. Well, it was a Pomeranian.
Was it alive?
It's questionable. To the point where I saw it, it wasn't alive anymore. It did have some hair. Naturally, it reeked. It was, like, pretty bad. We have this, like, hall alley that we go out to get out onto the street, which is, like, Sawtelle Boulevard. So, we're going out, and there's this fucking blazing fire next to my truck. Like, all these trees are on fire. And I look over, this guy has a pit, and he's, like, sitting there, like, fucking dancing around. I say homeless, like, I feel bad for people that are down in their luck. I really do. And I give them money. I really will. But, like, this guy's a tweaker. You know what I mean? And it was a tweaker maneuver when he was busting. And he's just out there laughing, having a good old time. And you're like, wow, really? No way was it a survival thing. It was just a mischievous, like, hey, I'm tweaked out. Check me out. Or I'm cracked out, whatever the case may be. And he's having a jolly old time roasting animals and whatever debris he could find. And it's pretty bad. Generally mentally ill. A lot of them, from what I hear, a good reliable source that I hear it from, a lot of them are combat veterans, and they need help.
Do you see LA County doing anything to help them?
Absolutely not. No, I really don't. I'd like to say we're as a liberal city as, like, people would like us to make us out to be, but I don't think we are. I don't think California's like that. San Francisco might be that way, but Santa Monica, Long Beach, Los Angeles, they're really not. I just think it speaks volumes of our country in general, the disparage between, like, rich and poor.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, not, I have mine, so fuck you. And, you know, if you're homeless or if you're down and out or if you live in a one-bedroom apartment on Orange Street, then that's your problem. when I say a story about the homeless in LA, the first thing
the
that comes
homeless?
Is the homeless, a hobo.
I thought you said homos.
Oh, no. Tell us a story about homos.
Really?
If you have a
if
story.
You want.
Okay,
yeah,
so
story
okay, so I was married, and then we brought a girl into the relationship. Next thing you know, I fall in love with this girl, and I leave my husband, and now I'm in the middle of a divorce right now.
What is your name?
Marissa.
So how in the middle of the divorce are you?
I'm actually filing papers.
So you're still married?
I filed papers, so I'm in the middle of it. Because it takes like 6 months for the first process to go through.
If we can ask, are you and the lady?
This is the lady. I don't know.
I think they did.
No, I don't think so. I think they walked away.
Sorry,
I'm in an interview.
Why?
About
yes.
My homeowners.
Your homeowners?
Yeah.
Well, we asked her for a story about homelessness, and she heard us wrong, so now she's talking.
About homeowners.
This is a pretty interesting story.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, what are you telling them? About how...
The whole story.
Yeah.
That's going to take a while.
Surprisingly not. It was pretty...
I cut it down.
Oh, really?
And you're here...
Hi, my name is Veronica. I am the other woman.
She knew exactly what we were talking about, so your
yeah.
story checks out.
Yeah,
that's pretty
she's
awesome.
The other woman.
Basically, my friends and I were sitting outside of Starbucks one day, just chatting it up, having a smoke, and this guy comes up and says, "Can I sit here?" And I go, "Okay, yeah, sure." And he goes, he's about 57, 58, sits down, he's got a cup of water from Starbucks. He says, "Well, my mama kicked me out when I was about 16 because I'm gay, and I was really, really open about who I was." He was telling us about how he wanted to be just like Farrah Fawcett and how, you know, he just loved her so much, but he really wanted to do Heath Ledger even though he was passed away. And he just kept elaborating on this.
Let me ask you this. Did he mean I want to do Heath Ledger
alive?
Regardless of whether or not he passed away?
Yes, it was regardless. He said, "I will do him in the grave. I will do him live."
I would have kicked you out of my house too.
I know.
Yeah.
I am serious. He said, "It is a shame, but I don't care. I will fuck his carcass." That's what he said. And I was like, "Okay, that is interesting." And he says, "You don't mind if I have a little drink, do you?" We're like, "No, go ahead." He takes this huge bottle of Bacardi out of his backpack, pours it into his water glass, and he's searching around for a trash can. And I'm like, "There's one over there." And he goes, "All right," kind of saunters over. And then,
hold on.
About maybe 5 minutes later, his nephew, in quotes, comes up to him and says, "Hey, uncle, it's time to go." Gives him a little bag of something or another and says, "I don't think it's time to go yet."
Shorter the better.
Okay, well, at any rate, my mom was just recently divorced from my dad. And I go into L.A., and a homeless man comes up to her and says, "Oh, you're beautiful, you'll marry me." And I swear to God, that made her day.
Grocery store yesterday.
Okay.
Last time you went.
All right.
Yesterday.
Last time I went to the grocery store, I got some bananas. Dollar. They're dollar bananas for like $5. I got soy milk, I got oatmeal, and I didn't eat any of that, and it just went to waste. So that's my story.
Jesus, you really are bad at telling stories.
Bad. I'm pretty bad.
You're just here to piss the whole thing.
I don't
build that.
I don't keep the standards low.
Oatmeal, didn't eat any of it.
Yeah.
See you guys.
I'm ready when you are. I don't know.
Hola mis amigos, I am here from Estudio Dos, a on channel 62. We are trying to get all you pinchy waitos out to come join us and look at our famous chichis and our senoritas and margaritas. We have such a good time. It's a fiesta for all you pinchy waitos. I mean you little fucking white people. Come on down and enjoy our fucking booty. Okay. Adios, mis amigos.
Mom Rat Radio brought to you by whatever MJ's rambling about. We just got back from our bomb segment. Right now we're going to hit the big news.
It's a great show. On
yeah, I want to go down there. That's what I'm saying.
We should go down there. We need to bring one Spanish-speaking person.
We need Tim to interpret every single thing.
I'll get us a translator if we want to go. They film it in L.A.
Let's just try to speak to him in our native tongue.
That's where they have that little midget machete.
Like, I like that I took probably 6 to 9 years, depending on how you look at it, of Spanish, and that I know how to say yes, no, and count to 10.
Right, no, donde es baño, huh?
Good American education right there.
Okay.
That's all that Spanish class ever did was teach you what the words meant in American, not any of the grammar behind it, even in college. I took the first 2 years of it in college, and yeah, all it was...
I learned more working in a restaurant.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Than I ever did in any class.
We're going to do our next segment, which is called Big News and or something else when we get a better idea. But I wanted to start out by talking about Brett Favre rejoining the NFL. I've been talking to my grandfather about it a lot because he lives in Wisconsin and he's a Bear fan.
Wow, that's...
Kenosha, Wisconsin, yeah. He's in the heart of Packertown.
Like a Brit living in Ireland.
Right.
The fuck?
He's a cool guy, and he sent me some news clippings from the Kenosha Tribune.
K-Town?
And my favorite one was it was just a bunch of people's reactions that had emailed, you know, the Kenosha News. I'm going to read the first one in a little bit, but I just want to get some initial gut reactions to Brett Favre coming back. I'll give mine first, which is I'm very happy. As a Bears fan, I'm happy because the Vikings were supposed to be really good, and I know that Brett Favre is going to suck for the last half of the year and just throw a bunch of interceptions. We've got Jay Cutler, who's an actual quarterback, and maybe a defense that won't be so old this year. So we could be really good, and the biggest threat was the Vikings, but now they've got Brett Favre, who no matter what they do is going to fuck them out of getting to a Super Bowl. I'm also happy because Brett Favre is the last childhood icon I have of football, a sport I've been following since I was like 8 or 9. That's the last person I grew up watching. So as long as he's in the NFL, I continue to be somewhat an adolescent. MJ, you're a Packer fan, but you're not devout. Like, you won't have any interest in going to the bar at 10 o'clock on a Sunday to watch
but
a Packer
still,
game.
You know, you can take a man out of Wisconsin, put him in California, but you can't take the Wisconsin out of a man.
I saw you eat a brick of cheese.
The real problem with this whole situation, in my opinion, is all I want to do is see Adrian Peterson get an injury, and I want to see Brett Favre cry, because what he did is he's like going out with this girl, right? Good relationship. They went steady for a long time, promised her the world, and then he leaves her. He just cuts her dry, all right? There's a lot more complication, but then he, all right, so he takes off, he's got this other chick, goes to the East Coast, whatever, out of our lives, we don't have to see him again. And what's he do? Out of spite and anger, he comes back and he starts banging the girl's sister, and it's in her face, right next door he moves in, and it's just like, oh, look what I got, I'm gonna see you a couple times, girl, But it ain't that cool. No, it ain't smooth at all. This guy's got to pay. And I want justice because this is wrong.
If I was to make it a metaphor, I'd say Brett Favre was dating this girl for a long time.
You never stop loving
and
anyone.
And then they got married. And then one day Brett just decided it's over. He needs to go be by himself. But then he decided that wasn't the right... Excuse me, MJ.
They were on a break.
Yeah, they took a break. Well, no, he said it was over. He said he was leaving... There'd never be anything again. And then about a month later, he came back and he said, baby, I want to be back with you. And then she said, well, I moved on. I'm dating this guy who designs no-fly underwear, and he's much better than you. All right. Then he decides to just go fuck some broad, the New York Jets. Just some random broad no one gives a shit about. Like, it's apparent to the girl that he's fucking her, but who gives a shit? And then the next year, he's fucking her sister.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what's the Illinois take on this? Is it like The Simpsons where Brett Favre is Lisa Simpson and the Packers are the big badass Nelson and you guys are like Milhouse and you're just like, oh, the finally Bears Lisa's fan? Free and single. Now I might have a chance. Is that what's up?
No.
You got some words to spend?
To me, Bay Packers are Shelbyville.
and we kick ass every time.
Your stadium fits
and
within 5,000 of the population of the city.
But that's because it's like Rome. If you've ever been there, we don't have any tall buildings.
That's entirely
all
true.
All we have is the Coliseum. And the people own the stadium, own the people, own the team.
I can't take that away from you. Yeah, it is like Rome.
And the real citizens have a spot there where it really is. And the domestic violence increases double when we lose, and it decreases quite a quarter percent when we win.
I hear you can't get tickets for like 10 years or until someone dies.
Yeah, right. It's impossible.
They've been sold out since 1965.
It's all that. It's not what you know, it's who you know. That kind of crap.
What if what you know is how to kill people?
Then you might get a free seat because they're really pro-war over there.
You'd probably still have to buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, a slot will open up.
Yeah. You could kill 10 or 20,000 people and only have cut 5 years off your weight.
Yeah, you're going to have to kill a whole lot of people to get in that stadium.
God bless America.
Ben, you're probably the most casual of football fans amongst us. I don't know. I don't know. What level would you put yourself at football?
Casual.
Yeah, casual. Yes. What do you think about Brett Favre coming back?
Oh, it's good. It's good for football and Wheaties. He's going to be on a lot of Wheaties boxes.
He is a pussy.
He's going to be good for Duluth.
Yeah.
He's going to really like Duluth is going to like him a lot. Probably even some of those other cities up there in Minnesota.
Bemidji.
Even border towns like Fargo. Yeah.
Bemidji's going to really appreciate what he's done for football and for their team. Yeah, I think it's good because then at least not only do you get to beat the Vikings, but you also get to beat Brett Favre again.
And his sensitive old man needs will be so comforted when he plays in the dome and not in the harsh elements of reality.
Where he lost 9 out of his first 11
it's
games.
So
there.
Bull.
Doesn't he already feel like he's got a broken rib?
There's gonna be all sorts of deer hunter snipers
bad.
Out there, dude.
He's
this
gonna
will
be
not
bad.
Fly. This will not fly.
But I feel
it's
like
wrong.
It's. It feels less sacrilege than him playing for the Jets.
What do you guys think the reaction is going to be on the field when the Packers play the Vikings?
They're going to boo him.
You think they'll boo him, or
yeah.
do you think they'll just
yeah,
be like...
Well, that's it.
You think they'll just
segment.
Be like, why?
Let's read some of the initial reactions.
Por qué?
We're going to read some of the initial transactions from the reactions from the Kenosha News. I'm going to start with the first one, and then we're going to go down the line. And just read them as is till it runs out of steam. From DD, Brett should have stayed retired. I have a feeling that when he comes up against his old team, he will find himself looking up at the lights more than looking downfield. I sure hope he has a good cleaning service to get all those grass stains off his back. Go home, Brett. Stay retired. That's the first reaction. These are lifelong Packer
fans. Oh, we're
going to
pass them?
We're
how about we... There's a lot on this list. Let's find the best ones. Which one's a good one?
No, it's best if you just read, the first 12, because you'll get all the different opinions. So read the second one.
Cha-ching! I have a strong feeling that it's not all about winning. It sounds to me that the deal was sealed when they came up with $25 million. I wish him no ill fate. He has given Packers fans... many fond memories. Let the games begin. From Gerardo Germino from KenoshaNews.com. So he's excited about it.
Ex-Favre fan from KenoshaNews.com says, this man is so stuck on
this paper is from Kenosha.
Right.
I thought it was from,
my grandpa sent me
this
clipping.
Oh, well, then I think all these people are dumb if they give a shit if Favre is playing
it's
for
awesome,
the Packers
though.
At all.
This man is so stuck on himself and determined to stick it to Ted Thompson, the Packers general manager. It is sickening. He played his will I won't I game for years.
It is
beyond me why the news media jumps and covers his every comment or move. Everyone know he would be a defect to the Viking. Personally, I hope he fails miserably. He has already destroyed his legacy. Favre is an egomaniac, and despite what he thinks, he is part of the team, not the team. The quarterback who wore number 4 in Minnesota is now out of a job just because Favre walked in and demanded his number. Go figure. Go Pack, go.
Wait, so the quarterback who was going to play for the Vikings was number 4 also?
Yeah.
He was number 4 coincidentally?
Right,
or is
and
that
he
just...
was put to practice team because he had the same number. But he also would have been the third quarterback behind Rosenfels.
Sure, but I mean, sure, but I think
and Tavares Jackson.
His number also happened before, I think.
Well, he was a dumbass for picking it. Because everybody knew Favre would come back. All right, we're on number 4.
Not him. We're on number 4. Grow up, Bert, Bart, Brent, or whatever you want to call this arrogant, self-serving egomaniac needs to grow up and forget about sticking it to Ted and the Packers. People seem to forget that this self-proclaimed football hero was very careless with the football and owns the interception record in the NFL. He thought he was better than he really was and could never play within the system and let the team concept do its job. Mike Holmgren stayed on him 100% of the time, which made him play well early on. Since Holmgren's exit, he has been mediocre at best. No one person is more important than the team. I don't wish him any harm, but I do hope he gets his bell rung and plays poorly, and this turns out to be a bad decision by the Vikings.
I concur.
Why do they, if they're Packers fans, why do they care? They want
hurt.
It to be a bad decision.
We're hurt.
But you can't.
I remember when Michael Jordan.
We have
Jordan,
a lot of healing to go through.
I remember when Michael Jordan played for the Washington Wizards, and it was just kind of funny to me.
Don't that's you want him to be
that's
bad,
basketball.
Though? I mean, you don't want him to be
Green
bad.
The Green Bay Packers is all these people have. That's all they have. It keeps
it's
communities
true.
Together. If you take that away from Wisconsin, you take away the whole spine of the culture.
Well, that's interesting because I wonder how many of these people who have written in so far out of the 4 we've read own Packer, Brett Favre jerseys. I bet all of them. I bet they
and
all.
And how many of their kids own them? All
right.
of them.
Well, that's just it. Is like
even
when you bought
animals.
That jersey, you weren't a fan of Favre. You were a fan of Favre for as long as he was on the Packers. He was God in
he
Wisconsin.
Was Jesus to the whole system.
But they didn't want
him
back.
Us out of our third-year recession that Don Mikowski.
He retired. He said that he wanted to get back into it. And then they said, no, we don't want you. They had to release him because of the pressure.
Well, we already made changes, man. He didn't give us enough time, so we already made appropriate. You can't just take on.
Well, I'm just saying, you are a fan of the Packers. You're not a Brett Favre fan. And, like, these people who bring up the interception record, like, to me, that's ridiculous because... He also has the passing and touchdown records.
At least he holds a record, you know what I'm saying?
And he accomplished that in your town. Now he's gone, and all you can think of is the interception record. That's what the Bears fans used to say about Favre. Is, oh, he's got the passing and the touchdown record, but he's also got the interceptions. You've turned into what Bears fans were to Favre.
No.
For the first 17 years.
He betrayed us, man. We're hurt. We're broken.
You didn't want him back.
We have no hope.
I think he should have just stayed retired. I think he's dumb as shit.
This is just ridiculous.
But D like
from absolutely ridiculous.
D from KenoshaNews.com says,
shenanigans.
Let me ask the Bears fans a question. When Jim McMahon finished his career in Green Bay, did you run out and get a McMahon Packers jersey? I suspect the answer is a resounding no. They are fans of the team, not a player follower. As much as I hate the Bears, I appreciate the fan sentiment in that respect. I still say if you're a Bear fan, move to Illinois. Now I have to say that if you're a Viking fan, move to Minnesota. This arrogant jerk wants more money and for everybody to think he is great. I say the parentheses heck with him.
Well, the heck with him.
They don't care about Brett Favre. He's just doing what Michael Jordan did. I knew when he went to the Wizards, he was never going to accomplish anything. And that's the same way I feel about, like, be glad he's playing for the Vikings because they got a whole lot worse than if Sage Rosenfels or even Tavares Jackson was their quarterback because he'll throw more interceptions than them. The entire last season, Tavares Jackson played as many games as Brett Favre or pretty close to it before he got benched, and he threw less interceptions than Brett Favre. You know this team in your division's gonna be bad.
Well, let the fun begin. As a Bear fan, I'm going to enjoy beating the Packers and or prima donna Favre 4 times. Randy Lane from KenoshaNews.com. Yeah, I agree with him.
They only play each team twice.
They play each team twice, which would equal to a total of 4.
I have been a longtime Packer fan and Favre fan. As a matter of fact, I have a Packer room in my basement with many Favre items. And now, as a Packer fan, I must do something I never would do. Boo, Brett! You're killing me, man! Mark Young from KenoshaNews.com.
Kill himself.
I'm going to read this one that I want to read because it looks like the most fun. Who? Comment from Kenosha News Facebook page.
This one makes a point that I love. You fool, Favre. Grow up and accept the fact that you can't run anymore. You can't take the cold. You keep throwing bonehead passes, often to avoid a sack, and obviously hold a grudge, sour grapes big time, against a team that paid you about $200 million in 17 seasons. Besides the revenge factor, Favre signed with the Vikes because he can't imagine what it would be like with no more limelight. He's a prima donna. He's an egomaniac. He has not grown up, but yet he thinks he is God. He loves to keep the media hanging. He is making a big mistake signing up. Just like last season, he should lead the NFL in interceptions this year, too. One of his best friends, and I'll say former rapist, Mark Shimura, did not state to the media that Brett is a very selfish man. And didn't half a dozen or so Jet players say he's definitely not a team player? The Packers probably paid him $200 million in 17 seasons, and the guy has a vendetta against the Pack. Grow up, Favre. According to WTMJ Radio, 80% of Packer fans in Wisconsin are very angry at Favre. All these fans are angry at him, suffice to say they dislike him. On Monday Night Football, August 5th, Brett Favre may get slammed flat on his back by the Pack. I think he will, too.
That was a pretty good point.
It's ridiculous. Who's he playing Monday night? Oh, the Packers.
The Packers.
Yeah, I hope they kill him. I hope they lose every game. I'm going to watch every Viking game just to make sure. So wrong!
God, these are so much better. There are now two purple dinosaurs in the world, Barney and Brett, from Paul, from Kenosha News' Facebook. The ones from the Facebook pages are the best. Let's just go to Kenosha News' Facebook page and see what they have to say.
Okay, this is my favorite, and I mistook it for the last one. I think Al Jones, longtime friend of the Favre family and writer for the Biloxi Herald, said it best. If Big Irv was still alive, Favre would have either retired as a Packer or would still be a Packer. If your own dad wouldn't accept this type of behavior, how do you expect the Packer Nation to react? Favre mentioned in his press conference that real Packer fans will understand. Don't insult us, Brett. Real Packer fans realize that no one player is bigger than the Green Bay Packers. Not Star, Nitschke, Reggie, and definitely not Favre. Minnesota, enjoy the circus. Now, this guy speculates from someone else's speculation that if Big Irv, Favre's dad, was still alive, Favre would have retired as a Packer or still be a Packer. And then he writes, if your own dad wouldn't accept this type of behavior, how would you expect the Packer Nation to? But he's basing if your own dad wouldn't on the fact that his dad's been dead for 5 or 6 years. Probably longer. So if your own dad, who was long dead by the time he made this decision, said no, because I'm speculating from what the guy from the Biloxi Herald said, that's Packer fandom right there. Speculating that some dude's dead father would have disagreed with the move. But saying it as a matter of fact, and I quote, if your own dad wouldn't accept this type of behavior, how do you expect the Packer Nation to react? Oh, that's priceless, man. But, I mean, this is the type of fanaticism that I'm sure if we had a copy of the Chicago Tribune from when Mike went back to the Washington Wizards, I'm sure this would be littered with it. Oh, all he cares about is the money. But, I mean, like, yeah, Favre got $25 million for doing this, but he doesn't need it. He got paid $200 million for his first 17.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Michael Jordan proved himself to be an above-average basketball player when he came back and he played for the Washington Wizards. But I think you do feel a personal connection with it, and you do feel it's a personal shame for someone who did so much for your franchise to go off and then squander his legacy and thus maybe even the legacy that you feel so closely attached to just to go play some more basketball or football.
This is the last one we'll read. I'm only going to read the last part of it. But Bill Disson, via email, says, I'm not the only one who thinks that the Packers would have won more Super Bowls if they'd kept quarterbacks who were released to keep Favre. He threw for more passing yards and more touchdowns than anyone in history, and now they're like, well, he only won one Super Bowl for us. If we would have gotten rid of him for Mark Berlin or Coy Detmer, we would have won more Super Bowls. Like, wow. Fanaticism, folks.
So, do you think a lot of these people who are just butthurt about him going to someone
else? Hey, don't eat while you're talking into that microphone.
I'm eating a delicious banquet dinner.
It looks good, actually. I liked the one you were scraping the gravy off the bottom of the plastic
When you
container.
Can't afford Denny's chicken fried steak, you need to go banquet.
I wonder how they can sell that for a dollar.
Because it's delicious.
I know it's delicious, but I just wonder how they can sell it for a dollar.
It's not real.
Because there's corn and a brownie in there.
It's made of oil.
Just you got that for a dollar? Where at?
Sell that for a dollar. Vons.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a banquet Vons commercial.
So, are there all these people who butthurt about Favre leaving the type of guys who would be so pissed off if their wives remarried once they died and widowed them?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because that's like an excellent metaphor, because what is Brett Favre ever going to do anymore? He got you guys to the NFC Championship game and then threw what a lot of people consider to be the worst pass in the history of playoff football.
He could do commercials for Nina Menashe Ford.
That ended up winning the Giants a Super Bowl. If it wasn't for that play, it's in overtime, but the Packers could have probably won that game at home off of a punt. But instead, the Giants win that game because of his interception and win the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. Like, you know that this guy's not going to do anything for anyone else, just like I knew Michael Jordan wasn't going to do shit for the Washington Wizards. They would have to have Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan to win, or Kobe Bryant and not Michael Jordan.
Or Scottie Pippen, Dennis Rodman.
Right. The
Michael
right,
Jordan.
The entire cast, you know.
Tony Kukoc.
Is that what they call
Steve
a team?
That's true. That's true. So why do you think these Packer fans, because you're a Wisconsiner, why do you think they're this upset? Are they fans of Favre that are hurt, or are they fans of the Packers who are hurt? The Packers?
Say it again because I threw it on your mic.
We took them into a
shoveling
very...
Shoveling chicken fried steak into your mouth.
That's called jealousy.
I'm jealous. I'll give you a dollar not to eat the rest. Oh, never mind.
It's already gone.
Yeah. Deals
no,
off
our
table,
loyalty's
bro.
Been heard. You know, we build a long relationship, full trust with him, and all he does is stab us in the back right when we were the most vulnerable.
Well, but in two years ago or last summer around this time when he said he was going to come back and wanted to come back to the Packers, Ted Thompson said no. They offered him $25 million to be an ambassador for the Packers, and he said, no, I still want to come back, and they said, well, we'd rather go with Aaron Rodgers. They had a big rally to see how many people... A bunch of Favre supporties. A bunch of Favre supporters.
Who the hell was Favre when we first took him? He was some half-ass quarterback from Atlanta.
A bunch of Favre supporters tried to organize a rally in Milwaukee and in Green Bay saying to demand that they allow Favre back on the team. And 47 people showed up. So obviously they were over. They wanted to see Aaron Rodgers.
But he's rich. Go home.
Wouldn't you rather see...
If you want to play football, go to Africa and build a fucking NFL.
No, go to Canada or Europe. Wouldn't you rather see Brett Favre retire as a Packer if he's been playing there his entire football career except for one season? Hold on. Wouldn't you rather see him retire as a Packer and then come back as a coach for the Packers, so he's like a Packer legacy.
Right.
And
once again, getting back to my Chicago Michael Jordan thing, a lot of people suppose that, but Michael Jordan would be a terrible coach. People didn't like him. And he doesn't, and you can tell by his draft picks with the Wizards, he doesn't know that much about basketball except for he knows how to play it and beyond the court. But off the court, he doesn't know shit.
Do you know that before Brett Favre won his last day, They plexiglassed his locker. He hung up his jersey, all his stuff, and they just plexiglassed it shut. So sealed forever. It is a time seal in the locker room to this day. And he has the nerve to go and
what would be sweet is if he brought a big sledgehammer when he has to play in Green Bay, nails the plexiglass, and then takes out his jersey.
You never get that close.
No, they should just make the Vikings dress in the
he's like
Packers.
Napoleon. He built
there is nothing left in that container. Why are you still scraping with a spoon?
I'm so hungry.
You're just scraping an empty plastic $1 banquet
he's
meal
like Napoleon.
Container.
He built a nation, and now he's exiled from it.
It's true.
He did start a charity, though, for kids with no teeth to give them false teeth in Mississippi and in Wisconsin.
You know, it's like this. Wouldn't you rather have a fairy tale ending than a real life ending?
Yeah, that's why.
And that's what they're getting is a real life ending instead
right,
of a
fairy
tale ending.
Right, but I've said this about it.
Like,
the Packer fans would rather have it, but that's a tough thing for Favre to swallow because if in 1996, or well, it would have been 97, after he beat the New England Patriots for his first ring, if you would have said Brett Favre, this is the last time you're ever going to win a Super Bowl, everyone, including Brett Favre and half of the players in the NFL, would have said you're crazy. That this guy and this team, they're going to win 2, 3, 4 more. And they won one. They became the 85 Bears. If you were to ask Richard Dent or Jim McMahon if this is the last Super Bowl any of you will ever win, they'd all say you were crazy.
I mean,
so
isn't
for
that
Favre,
what every Super Bowl winning
right,
team
well,
says?
But teams like the, I mean, that's a different era
like
in football.
The Patriots could say, yeah, right, we don't think we're going to lose. We didn't think we were going to lose to the Giants.
You wouldn't have
they
said
it
about the first Patriots team. You wouldn't have said this is a team that's going to win 4 or 5 more because it's hard.
The one that won in 2001?
Right, you would not have said that. The Rams were the dynasty to beat.
But it doesn't. You know what they say, any given Sunday, right?
Right. Well, for him and his career to have won one that young and then spend the next 13 years getting real close, getting to a Super Bowl and losing to John Elway and getting to 3 or 4 at least NFC championship games, you would have said, this guy's probably got a shot. And for him to never do it, he'll take any chance he can get.
Didn't Dan Marino never
Dan Marino never won. Dan Marino
so it's like,
went
how can
to
you,
one.
How can we list him as one of our greatest quarterbacks in football history? But
and he lost all his records to Brett Favre.
He lost all of his except for quarterback rating, I think.
So then everybody's got potential.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, that's a disappointment for when you're 20, when he's probably our age and he wins a Super Bowl. And everybody
but
says...
But even if he would have retired, never gone to the Jets, I think they would have still immortalized him. They would have still held him on such a high...
They still will.
They might.
Just not right away.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people who won't. There's going to be a lot of people who will.
They'll all come back to Favre once he actually retires. Once he actually sits out for a season, then people will mellow to him. But right now, their feelings are hurt because of the Brett legacy they built up. And what's so funny about it is, like, this is the exact same shit that we've been reading that Bears fans used to talk about Favre to Packer fans. He's thrown for more interceptions. I remember saying that. Now
all they know the argument. Everybody always knows the arguments against and for their own personal passion. So it's not a new – it's not a mystery to them. It's not like it's new.
Right.
Plus, they've been well-conditioned. They've had the same arguments thrown back in their face this entire time. So it's easy for them to turn around and yell back at. So I don't think it's a very big surprise at all.
Nope.
I don't think it's a surprise at all.
It's an interesting topic, though. I think we've gotten...
Extremely interesting.
Well, I wrote down in the outline that I'd ask, who cares, still cares, and I wrote, and as an assumption, Ben does not.
I don't. I didn't then, and I don't now.
Ben cares about his cat.
I do. Right. I love my cat.
What if your cat was... saying, I'm not going to be your cat anymore. I'm going to go be the starting cat for the Minnesota Vikings.
I'd be happy for him. I go, fuck yeah, that's my cat out there.
Even with all the records your cat set is your cat?
Well, he'd still be my cat. Now, you're using a football analogy. Now, if he went to go sleep in someone else's bed all the time.
Yeah, what if he went to my room every night?
I'd hold a grudge against that person, not against my cat. You never hold a grudge against your own cat.
Yeah, it's never the girl's fault. It's always the guy's.
Yeah.
When we were out doing the bum stories, we caught a guy named Mike right during the end of it, who told us a really funny bum story that got lost because of technology. But in it, he also invited us to a party about couch surfing. And apparently what couch surfing is what was the name of the website?
Couchsurfing.com.
Very good. There's a big website with over a million people on it who just set up, instead of paying for a hotel, they go and sleep on someone's couch through e-bikes. He was having a party the next night, and we went back to the Red Room and to his house behind it to talk to people about couch surfing, and we've got maybe three stories again.
Yep, three stories.
So
one from Mike, one from a lady who is a nice lady named Liz.
Liz was very nice.
And then another nice lady named Heather.
Was her body nice?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the best
thing
about
all
it.
Of the ladies there had pretty nice bodies. I would sleep on their couches, if you know what I'm saying.
Is that what surfing on couches?
No, not specifically.
Okay, so we're going to take a break right now and let you hear that second segment, the couch surfing segment.
Well, I'm down 1,000 highways across the USA. And I found one damn place that I want to stay. Gonna keep on driving down the road.
My name is Elizabeth. I'm from Orange County. I've been living in Orange County for about 5 years now, but I'm originally from LA, Hawaii, and Manila. You hear couch surfing, and people generally ask, you know, oh, you guys, you know, are couch potatoes. But really, you know, when I first started back in 2005, the whole mission of the website or the program is to create a better world to travel. However, they I just actually started a new mission, and now it's like to create inspiring experiences through travel. And it's really about cultural exchange. It's not necessarily about getting a free couch or a free place to stay, but it's really about, you know, exchanging information and really staying with a local rather than staying in a hotel and seeing things through the eyes of a local, you know, whenever you travel. Well, I can speak of my first experience. I was actually stranded in London. My wallet got stolen. I had 4 more days, and I had Paris as part of my last, you know, leg of my trip. And this guy basically said, you know, worst case scenario, you can stay at my place. You know, you can couch surf. And I said, yeah, right. You know, coming from an American's point of view, I was like, yeah, sure, free couch, right? And it was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Next thing I knew, I was, you know, playing guitar in the middle of the Seine River, you know, in Paris, and having breakfast with his family and his friends and making the best decision in my life. And without couchsurfing now, I probably won't even travel. And, you know, I would never stay at a hotel ever again.
Yeah, I've loved a couple women. I've been high, I've been low. And I'd love to stay with you, darling, but I gotta go. Gonna keep on driving down the road.
We had these two British, we had a British couple, Holly and Chris. And they had the coolest accents. And we said a wine key, and they thought we said a wanker. And they thought it was so funny. And then we had this long talk about what people say in Britain. It's different from America. And they said in Britain, the animals. In they stayed in Japan before that. So they said in Japan, a frog goes ricket, ricket. And here it goes ribbit. And that's how a rooster goes hurdler. And here it goes cock-a-doodle-doo. And we had a long talk about animal noises and how interesting that is.
Well, the dollar's losing its value even more each day.
We were way louder.
And the people are wondering how they're gonna pay. Just swap that credit card, it'll be
I'm currently training to be a couchsurfing ambassador for Long Beach, which means if people have questions about how to be a good couchsurfer, what you should do, like I'm kind of the person who explains it. My first time surfing other people's couches was in Europe. I got signed on because a friend of mine promised me if I signed up, he would, and we'd go to Europe together. He bitched out. I ended up going to Europe alone. And stayed at a couple people's houses. The first one was a little awkward. Not really worth the story, though. A couple days later, about like 2 weeks later, I ended up in France, and I had no couch. I did an emergency couch request, which means if you can't find a couch, you post up on a board, and somebody says, I'll take you. Some guy with no experience at all says, hey, I'll take you. Great, great. I've only stayed with women, not because I was like dating or like looking to score. It was just that like straight guys, I get a little nervous around, so a total stranger, it's really, I didn't know what to think. I get to his place, and I had just gotten back from Amsterdam, and I had smuggled a little herb across the border. And so I saw a little dish with marijuana label on it, and I was like, hey, I've got some weed from Amsterdam. Do you want it since you're hosting it? I say, thank you. So he says yes. Next thing I know, while he's smoking, he's rubbing his hands up and down his legs and flexing them back and forth. There's a Third Eye Blind song. It's like, flexing her knees, trying to innovate the feeling. And that's the first thing that popped in my head. I'm like, oh my God, he's acting like he's on ecstasy. And I'm in this guy's house for the night. And he didn't seem gay per se. And, you know, I have nothing wrong with gay people. But, like, it was just, like, to be hit on with somebody that you're staying at, it's really uncomfortable. And so the couch is set up like there's a chair on the right, then a couch behind it in the middle, and then a chair on the left, and then so it's on, there's a square, and on the other side is a TV. So I sit down, and then he sits next to me. So then I get up just to like get some space because the knee flexing thing was freaking me out, and I sit on the chair and I'm talking to him about what to do and where to go, and it's freaking me out. And so then he comes over to the chair. And so then I cross the room to get to the other chair. And then he follows me to that chair. And the whole time I'm asking him about like what nightclub to go to in Paris, because I'm a big house fan. And I was like, Paris is supposed to have some of the world's best deep house music. It's very great lounge atmosphere. I'd really like to go check it out. And he's like, you can go, but you should leave by midnight. And it's already like 9 o'clock, and it takes like 45 minutes to get into Paris, like into the city where the clubs are. And he kept basically making it sound like if I went, I'd be accosted and freaked out. And he basically said that I should not go out because I'd be better off with him and that he would keep me safe. And I was just like freaking out. Finally, I was like, well, you know what, dude, I'm great, thank you, but I'm really just gonna pass out, maybe have an early day tomorrow. It's Paris in the middle of July, and the Europeans are not like Americans. They don't have air conditioning, let alone central air. I mean, they just deal with it. I had a flannel sleeping bag. I covered my head like a six-year-old afraid of like the boogeyman and sweated it out through the night. You know Indians that go to sweat lodges? They do not have the... I was talking to the Cheshire Cat inside my fucking sleeping bag, freaking out. He is expecting me for 2 nights. I just bailed. I ended up spending the next night outside of the Eiffel Tower until 6 a.m. when they opened up the train station. But those experiences, those are like the perfect kind of like couch surfing experiences when you have surfing. Hosting, I've got a ton of other, but I think that's pretty good.
Well, we're sitting in the park.
His name?
No, off to war. And they don't even know what the hell they're fighting for. And the politicians pay for what they've done.
Yeah, he is Mill Diamond. Do you know
about Mr. Diamond? And the blood upon their hands will be seen by everyone.
Can you shake it?
I don't know, man. I don't play soccer, you know. Like, I can't.
I'll shake it.
I don't think it was. I think you did the right thing by not hitting it.
Who's this?
Hairdresser.
Well, you're dating a virgin right now.
And how old is she?
Get a little closer to the mic and say how old she is.
24.
And you could have had sex with this, well, or dated this hairdresser.
Yeah, and she had red hair.
That's bad.
Yeah. And that's bad.
It scares me.
Why?
Ever since that movie Chucky.
My mom had red hair.
Child's play. 1 through 5.
Love her to death, but she's.
Your mom doesn't have red hair.
Yeah, she does.
She's not.
Yeah, she does.
Show me a picture.
I don't have a picture.
Color picture. You don't have a picture of your mother?
I don't have a picture of your mother?
Somewhere. You, not in the studio.
Hey, call your mother.
Not
she
at
worries
home
about
right
you.
Now. I'm in the studio, so where do you are?
That's true.
You do have
That's
a
true.
Picture of a naked chick, though. Quite a few of them.
It was it's
plastered on the wall.
Very expensive painting.
You did pay a lot. You did
emails from MJ's mom can go to downinthewell@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
This redheaded hairdresser, like, what, is she
yeah,
some 31? Older broad?
Not that older. She looks young. I was at Supermax one day. I didn't put any hair gel in my hair. I didn't put any clean clothes on. Went in there, like, I'm just going to get drunk, and I have no anticipation of meeting anyone. Well, I end up sitting right next to this this young woman, and she is being all like, okay, like that, because I wouldn't talk to her. So I'm like, okay, how are you doing? And I'm talking to her, and I just get belligerently drunk, and I'm like, okay, I really have no intentions of anything further with you, but how would you like to come over and smoke a bowl? So she comes over, and we hang out, and we hang out for, like, the next couple months, but it never, like, I never would do anything with her because she had red hair, and I really do not like red hair at all. So...
Is it the red hair, or is it the pale skin and freckles that freaks you out?
It's it all. There's no soul.
I assume you've seen this?
And the thing is, and then, in the end, she ended up getting her hair... She dyed it brown, because I told her...
Have you seen her since she got her hair brown?
And I was supposed to see her, but then I met this, the other...
The new girl.
Beautiful woman, and, yeah, and I haven't talked to the other one since. So
she was about to make it right,
win?
And then
she made brownies and all this stuff.
And then he ran
yeah.
away.
I,
well, it's the difference between
she waited too long.
A girl who doesn't have anything, except for a hairdressing career and a bicycle, but she drinks and smokes. And lives right down the street, or a good girl who doesn't drink or who doesn't smoke. He's 24, he's Catholic, and has rich parents. So I don't think he made a good or bad decision. Right? Yep.
He made a decision, and either one would have gotten him roused.
Either one we could talk shit about. So I don't think, I think in that situation it was a lose-lose. But, of course, for him it would be a win-win.
Where do you see yourself in 10 months with the Virgin?
I don't know. Maybe living in an apartment.
Wow.
Clean.
Wow.
Fleas.
Well, to be fair, this apartment doesn't have fleas anymore.
Yeah, so living in an apartment.
But it's not ever going to be clean.
Pretty clean right now. Painted the walls. Makes it look clean.
Quit living in the past.
I'm not getting it. It looks kind of clean. It's definitely cleaner than Kevin Cavill's.
State. That could be true.
It's a definite reference to someone who isn't here.
One of them is
good. I had one last topic I wanted to broach, and then we'll talk about it.
All you have to do is step on it.
Should we weigh the cat, see what's up to?
Nope. They probably did it at the vet. I just don't know because they didn't give me that information with the $133 bill they gave me.
Well, that's $2 up from the $131 I heard yesterday.
Well, it's been sitting out there on the counter, so number hasn't changed.
The last topic I want to talk about is Levi.
Jeez.
The baby's daddy for Sarah Palin's child has been doing the talk show circuit, and apparently he's gotten a deal to write a memoir. And I just wonder if there's anything more annoying than still having to hear about Sarah.